fortune. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Anyone who knows that this material body, made of five gross elements, the sense organs, the working senses, and the mind, is simply supervised by the fixed soul, is eligible to be liberated from the material bondage. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse describes how one can become liberated from material bondage. The first point is that one must know that the soul is different from his body. The soul is called Dehi, or one who possesses the body. And the material body is called Deha, or the embodiment of the soul. The body is changing at every moment, but the soul is fixed. Therefore, the soul is called Kutastham. The change of body is enacted by the reactions of the three modes of nature. One who has understood the fixed position of the soul should not be disturbed by the incoming and outgoing interactions of the modes of material nature in the form of happiness and distress. In Bhagavad Gita also, Lord Krishna recommends that since happiness and distress come and go due to the interaction of the modes of nature on the body, one should not be disturbed by such external movements. Even though one is sometimes absorbed in such external movements, he has to learn to tolerate them. The living entity should be always indifferent to the action and reactions of the external body. Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that the body made of the gross physical elements, earth, water, fire, air, and sky, and the subtle elements, mind, intelligence, and ego, is completely different from the soul proper. One should therefore not be disturbed by the action and reaction of these eight gross and subtle elements. The practical process to attain the stage of indifference is to execute devotional service. Only one who constantly engages in devotional service 24 hours a day can be indifferent to the action and reaction of the external body. When a man is absorbed in a particular thought, he does not hear or see any external activities, even though they are enacted in his presence. Similarly, those who are fully absorbed in devotional service do not care what is going on with the external body. That status is called samadhi. One who is actually situated in samadhi is understood to be a first-class yogi. Udasinam ivadhaksham drabhagyana kriyatmanam kutastham imam atmanam jo vedapnati sohanam. Anyone who knows that this material body made of five gross elements, the sense organs, the working senses, and the mind, is simply supervised by the fixed soul, is eligible to be liberated from material bondage. So, in the sacrifice of Prithu Maharaj, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, appeared and he is giving him these instructions. Although Prithu Maharaj is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is a Shaktavesh incarnation, an empowered incarnation, who actually came to establish the principle of law and order, to rule over this earth. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has different Shaktavesh avatars to accomplish different activities, just like Vasudev is a literary incarnation. Prithu Maharaj is the regal incarnation. The Lord empowered Prithu Maharaj to establish the law and order. And actually at the time when Prithu Maharaj appeared, the whole world was in a great chaos. His father was a very sinful person, King Vena, and during his time the principles of religion were completely destroyed because he did not want to support the Brahminical culture. The Brahminical culture of Go Brahmana Hitayacha, Namo Brahmana Devaya, Go Brahmana Hitayacha. Brahminical culture means worshipping the Brahmana Dev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the protector of Brahminical culture, protector and giving protection to cows and the Brahmanas. And the Brahminical culture is based on sacrifice. And when the sacrifice goes on for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or when the human beings perform sacrifice for the sake of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the whole atmosphere becomes very peaceful and prosperous. Peace and prosperity prevails in a society where there is Brahminical culture, or where there is Krishna consciousness, acceptance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the support of the cows and Brahmanas. But King Bena refused to do that. He stopped sacrifice, and he didn't want to accept the authority of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the demoniac mentality. So at that time, actually Bena was so sinful that his father Anga didn't want to make him the king. When Anga wanted to make him the king, the ministers and the citizens didn't want to approve of that decision of the king. They went against the decision of the king, because they knew that the Bena was a very, very tyrannical and very sinful person. But somehow Anga, his father, he established him on the throne. But when Bena became a king, he became so sinful that before Bena became a king, he was the crown prince, he became so sinful and he started creating so much disturbance in the society that Anga left home. He didn't want to stay at home. He left home. And at that time, Bena became the king, and the whole atmosphere became so unbearable that ultimately the people were crying everywhere. And seeing the condition of the citizens, the Brahmanas, they wanted to take action. So the Brahmanas first tried to give Bena good advice, but Bena was so sinful and his mind was so crooked that he didn't want to accept the good advice of the Brahmanas. Instead, he started to insult the Brahmanas. So at that time, the Brahmanas cursed Bena and killed him. Just by their curse, they killed Bena the king. And after Bena's death, there was no king. And as a result of that, there was total chaos everywhere. At least when Bena was the king, the miscreants were under control, because he was a powerful king and he didn't allow the miscreants to get away with their sinful activities or criminal activities. But his fault was that he didn't support the Brahminical culture. He was a good king in a way that he kept the unwanted elements at bay, but he himself was not subordinate to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees. Therefore, Bena was considered as an impious king. And the Brahmanas did not tolerate that. They killed him. But after Bena's death, there was total anarchy, total chaos. There was no law and order. And as a result of that, the rogues and thieves and bandits started to sluggish. And the whole atmosphere became covered with the dust that was flying from the hooves, from the running around actually. The thieves and rogues were plundering all directions in such a way that they were running after the people and people were running away from them. And as a result of that, there was dust flying. So at that time people started to cry, that now who is going to save them? So at that time the brahmanas took pity upon the citizens and churning the body of Vena, they got Prithu Maharaj. Vena's body was kept by his mother, Sunitha. She had some mystic power and she knew some mantra. And Jai Shri Shri Radha Landaneshwar ki, Jai Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani ki, Jai Shri Shri Gaurnithai Shri La Prabhupada ki. Vena's mother, who was the daughter of death personified, she had some mystic power. And with that mystic power or by applying some herbs, some concoction from, or rather decoction from herbs, preserved the body of Vena even after his death. So the brahmanas churned the body of Vena, and as a result of that, Prithu Maharaj appeared along with his wife. And Prithu Maharaj was the royal power personified or empowered by the Lord to establish the royal order on this earth, Raja Shakti. And when Prithu Maharaj saw the condition of this world, the first thing he noticed that the earth was not producing enough for the citizens. The earth's purpose, earth's business is actually to provide for the residents of this planet. But earth, being tortured by the miscreants, stopped to produce. She withdrew everything. She withdrew the grains, the seeds rather. She withdrew the seeds, she withdrew the minerals, the gems, vegetables and everything. And as a result of that, earth was completely devoid of any foodstuff, and as a result of that people were suffering very much. And Prithu Maharaj at that time became very angry seeing the condition upon earth, because it's the duty of the king to take care of his citizens. The king must give protection and provide for his. So when earth did not produce, King Prithu became very, very annoyed with earth, and he was about to chastise earth. He was about to kill earth actually. And then Mother Earth revealed to him what actually was the matter. And then upon Prithu's order, Mother Earth, who was in the form of a cow, allowed different individuals to milk her. So the human beings milked Mother Earth and got grains, foodstuffs and grains. The demigods milked her and they got soma, they got the nectarine beverage. The demons also milked Mother Earth and got what they wanted. Their beverage is alcohol or some kind of so this way everyone got what he wanted from Mother Earth. And then Prithu Maharaj, in order to bring the earth back to the normal condition of prosperity and peace, he performed he started to perform sacrifices. As a king, he was performing horse sacrifices. And in this way he performed 99 horse sacrifices. But when he was performing the 100th horse sacrifice, Indra became worried. Because when someone performs 100 horse sacrifices, he becomes eligible to become the king of heaven. Indra, the king of heaven, becomes the king of heaven because he performs 100 horse sacrifices, or because he performed 100 horse sacrifices. Therefore, another name of Indra is Shatakratu, the person who performed 100. Shata means 100, and Kratu means sacrifice. So Indra became worried that if Prithu Maharaj performs 100 horse sacrifices, successfully completes 100 horse sacrifices, then he will become the king of heaven. So he became very concerned. So this way one can see how attached the demigods are. Indra, although he is the king of heaven, although he is a devotee of the Lord of some sort, but still he is so attached to his position. So he stole the horse, and he stole the horse twice actually. And then Prithu Maharaj became so angry that he was about to kill Indra. Not only Prithu Maharaj, his son was about to kill Indra. And when Prithu Maharaj became, when this horse was stolen second time, then Prithu Maharaj became so angry that he wanted to kill Indra. And at that time, different sages, at that time Brahma came and pacified Prithu Maharaj. And then the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself came and pacified Prithu Maharaj, and suggested, ultimately the Lord told him, that what's the use of performing this sacrifice? Better not perform the sacrifice, because this sacrifice is causing so much disturbance that Indra is so upset, so better you don't perform the sacrifice, because it's not necessary for you. And in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, through Prithu Maharaj, made this point that for a devotee, these kind of sacrifices are not very important. For a devotee, what actually matters is his pure devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because the devotee actually makes the ultimate sacrifice. These kind of karmakandiya sacrifices are external sacrifices. The sacrifice of different objects of material nature for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the fact of the matter is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead doesn't need any material thing. Doesn't need anything material. So that these sacrifices doesn't actually give him the pleasure. But some sort of satisfaction he derives out of the sacrifices, because through the sacrifices, the living entities express their submission and acceptance to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the Lord himself is not really concerned about these offerings. What he is actually concerned about is a living entity's surrender of himself. When one sacrifices himself to the Supreme Personality, that is what pleases the Supreme Personality of Godhead the most. And that is the meaning of becoming a devotee of the Lord. Devotee doesn't offer external objects for the pleasure of the Lord. Devotee offers himself to the Lord. His soul is offered at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is the ultimate sacrifice. And since one has done that, the Lord is pleased with him, and for him there is no need to make any external or make need to perform any external sacrifice. So this is the fact that the Supreme Personality of God had established through his instructions to Prithu Maharaj. And in this verse, the Lord is telling Prithu Maharaj that how anyone who knows that this material body made of five gross elements, the sense organs, the working senses and the mind, is simply supervised by the fixed soul. And this soul is eligible to be liberated from material bondage. Actually, for this body or this involvement of the spirit soul in the material nature is a source of misery. Material nature is like a prison house where every living entity is subject to different kinds of punishments for the crimes that he has committed. So whatever happens to a living entity on the material nature is actually a kind of punishment. Everything is a kind of a punishment, and everything is a source of misery for a living entity. May it be in the form of happiness or in the form of pain. Both happiness and pain is actually a kind of punishment for a living entity. Because in this material nature, the living entity is deprived of his constitutional state of joy. A living entity is eternally blissful. And a living entity is continuously hankering for that bliss, anandam. But in this material nature, that is not available. And the more he tries to achieve that ananda, that joy, the more miserable he becomes. That is the condition of this material nature. A living entity is allured by different allurements in the material nature for enjoyment. But as the living entity tries to achieve those objects of enjoyment, or tries to reach those points of enjoyment, he ends up becoming suffered. He ends up becoming miserable. He gets punishment instead of enjoyment. It's something like a criminal is very hungry, and he tries to approach some food, and as soon as he goes to the food, he just gets a whack. It's like training an animal, or training a dog. Like a dog is beaten when he tries to do something, and this way he's trained to understand what he should not do, what he should do and what he should not do. So this material nature is a place where the living entities are continuously being punished in order to understand what they should do and what they should not do. And what they should not do is they should not try to enjoy in this material nature. Therefore, as soon as he tries to enjoy, he gets the beating. And this way the living entity ultimately comes to the point of understanding that he should not try to. And this material nature is Krishna's divine arrangement for the living entities to recognize their mistake and rectify their mistake. The crime of a living entity is that he left the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The moment a living entity decided not to be submissive to Krishna, the moment a living entity looked away from Krishna, His perception became projected, or his consciousness fell on the external energy of the Lord. And that external energy, being inferior, and the living entity being superior, the living entity immediately developed a desire to lord over this material nature. And that desire to lord over this material nature, this inferior nature, gives him the covering of the false ego. His real identity is that he is a servant, but he now wants to become the master. So it's a false identity, a mistaken identity. And due to that mistaken identity, he wants to lord over this material nature, and that becomes his first or the most subtle bondage in this material nature. Then he wants to enjoy this material nature. He makes various plans, and that gives him the covering of the intelligence. Then through his mind, his consciousness continuously flows towards the material direction. And in this way, he develops the bondage of three gross elements: mind, intelligence, and false ego. And then nature provides him this material nature, which is being controlled by the modes, different modes, or which actually, not controlled, but which actually becomes activate, which activates, becomes activated by the modes of material nature. According to the modes and according to the activity of a living entity, it provides a living entity with a specific type of body. Gross body made of earth, water, fire, air, ether. And this, with this gross body, the living entity becomes very nicely bound to this material nature. And what is this gross body? This gross body is actually a very nice instrument to receive the punishment, to receive pain. We can consider that any part of this gross body can receive pain in so many ways. Although we want to enjoy, but we cannot really get any pleasure out of this body. You take any part of your body and consider in how many different ways you can give pain to that part. You take your little finger and consider in how many different ways you can give pain to the little finger. But now you consider in how many different ways you can give pleasure to the little. Can you think of any conceivable means of giving pleasure to the little finger? And that principle actually applies to every single part of the body. And this way we can conclude that this body is actually meant for receiving pain. This body is not meant to receive pleasure. And in this way Krishna teaches the living entities that a living entity should not try to enjoy by becoming the lord and master of this material nature. A living entity's position is actually to become a humble servant of the Supreme Personality of God. And the process of becoming a humble servant is called devotional service. And when a living entity becomes a humble servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he becomes free from this bondage. And that process of becoming a servant of the Lord is so sweet, so pleasing, that the more one gets involved in this, in practicing this process, the more he wants to get involved. And ultimately he comes to a point when he makes a total surrender. It is not easy, or it is not possible for a conditioned soul to surrender immediately, because he has so many years of bad habits. He develops so many lifetimes of conditioning that conditioning cannot be undone just in a very short time. Therefore, he needs to practice. And that process of practicing to undo our bondage, material bondage or material conditioning, is called Vaidhi Bhakti, devotional service. But by practicing devotional service, we come to a point when we do not need to practice anymore. Then we can spontaneously become engaged in devotional service. We do not have to force ourselves, but out of our natural love for the Lord and the natural taste for devotional service, we become spontaneously engaged. So that is called spontaneous devotion. And in this way, when a living entity becomes completely free from all his material conditioning, then he becomes engaged in pure devotional service or loving devotional service. And this loving devotional service ought to develop this love for the Lord is actually the state of liberation from material bondage. When one develops his genuine love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he becomes free from the bondage of this material nature. So here the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, instructed Prithu Maharaj that how he should realize that he is not this body, he is a spirit soul. Or everyone should realize that he is not his body, but he is a spirit soul. And that spirit soul is a part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The spirit soul comes from the spiritual sky. Therefore, the spirit soul's original place, home, is the spiritual sky. And the process of going back to the spiritual sky is simply our submission to the Supreme Lord. Due to our defiance of the Supreme Lord, we have fallen into this material nature. Now if we become submissive to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, then we will become eligible to go back to. Actually, those who are in the material nature are attached to their position to a lesser or greater degree. And Indra or the other demigods, I mean, they're situated in a higher position. That doesn't necessarily mean they're detached. They're endowed with some specific assignment and empowered to accomplish certain mission in the material nature by the Supreme Personality of God. And they are in that position because of their attachment. Or rather, I would say because of their attachment, but they are situated in that position, or they are given that position, but they are not pure devotees. And unless and until one becomes a pure devotee, he cannot become completely attached or display that mood of detachment. Completely detached. Unless and until one becomes a pure devotee, he cannot become completely detached. And so the demigods, they are very powerful personalities, and they are devotees of some sort, but they are karma mishra bhakta. They are fruitive devotees. Like, they are devotees of the Lord because they want certain benefit from the Lord. And whereas a pure devotee, his devotion is unconditional. He doesn't want anything in return. Whereas the demigods, they accept the Supreme Lord. They accept him as the Supreme Personality, the Supreme Proprietor, and the Supreme Controller. But because of their material desires, they pray to him for their sense gratification. And that's why whenever their position is threatened, position of sense gratification is threatened, they become very worried. It is like a pious, they are like the pious rich man. In India, you can see many pious rich people. They're pious, and that's why they're very rich, actually. And they have temples, they have Radha Krishna temples, and they worship the deities. But, you know, like, all that they're doing is because of their sense gratification. All the worship that they're rendering to Radha Krishna or Lakshmi Narayan is for the sense gratification. Like, they are not demoniac, they accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whereas the demons don't accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The sign of the demons in India or in the Vedic culture is the worshippers of Lord Shiva. They do not want to accept Krishna or Vishnu, but they accept Lord Shiva, and they say Lord Shiva is greater than Vishnu. And ultimately they sum it up by saying that ultimately everything is Brahma Jyoti, Brahma. Nirvishesh. But these forms are just, you know, certain manifestation of that impersonal Brahman. So the point actually is that Indra is in a very elevated position, but that elevated position is not the elevated position as a devotee, but the elevated position as a personality who is very fortunate to be endowed with certain facilities in this material nature by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead is also satisfied, because after all, they are rendering service to him. Like, they're taking care of different affairs of the material nature, and they're submissive to him. So he is satisfied that they're doing their duty. Like, they're like the employees of the Supreme Lord. Whereas, the pure devotees are like the family members of the Supreme Lord. The family members don't expect any salary or anything in return. Whereas the employees do, and that's why they render the service. Now, if this situation is like the proprietor's son got into some kind of conflict with the managing director of the company, right? And the father is happy with the managing director. After all, he's doing the job all right. And so he tells his son that, well, don't let him do his job, you know, don't get him. So that doesn't mean that the father is favoring the managing director more. On the basis of that relationship, he is just asking him. Yeah. Well, there is a little difference in the situation. Like, when Prabhupada was here, and if someone was very attached to his position, sometimes Prabhupada did allow him to maintain his attachment and pacified others. That, well, let him. He is rendering his service. But when it comes, you know, but Prabhupada emphatically said that I have made this adjustment. But if someone deviates, then you do not. You are not in a, that means the GBC body is not in a position to make this adjustment that Prabhupada could do. Like, Prabhupada's instruction was very clear that if a GBC member breaks the regulative principle, then he should be removed. Although Prabhupada, during his time, when he was present on this planet, he adjusted, like some GBC members fell down, but Prabhupada reinstated him. But because Prabhupada was present at that time, he could make that adjustment, and he could kind of, you know, he could adjust the situation. But Prabhupada didn't want that to be the standard. Because if that becomes the standard, then all kinds of impurities will enter into our society, and that will ruin the society. Therefore, Prabhupada was very emphatic about that. You all, after I leave, you all can't make this adjustment. You all have a very strict standard. Anyone falls down,